Do we fully grasp how important our speech is? I did a little bit of a research, and it has been a great challenge this week. But a man throughout one day speaks 12,000 words. Last week, we would have spoke around 84,000 words. If a man lives to be 80, in a year, it's about 4,300,000 words. Might stay for a little bit, but this is 12,000 words. I'm a visual person, so I like seeing things spelled out. I know you guys can't read it, but that's what 12,000 words a day look like. But if you be 80 years old, you would say, this is just rough numbers, around 150 million words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. I realize this was Jesus talking to Satan on the mountain, but it is for us today because we are man. And he said that was for man. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And a question that I have, what are idle words? We have 12,000 words in a day. How many of those are idle words? And I looked up the definition of idle. The definition was, one of them was laziness, and the other one was useless. We can replace idle with laziness or useless. I've been replacing it a lot with useless. How many of the words were useless? That just had no meaning, that there was no reason. If every word that cometh out of my mouth is how I live my life, should those words not be pure and holy? Because we are professing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Proverbs, it says to have a pure speech. I don't know. Like I said, it has been a great challenge for me this week. Just the importance of our speech that's coming out of our mouth. In Matthew, it tells us that every idle word that we shall give an account for. I think if we just take a pause a moment and just think of 12,000 words. I was going to write that. This is 12,000. And then 84,000. And in a year. I know those are just numbers, but they're lots of numbers. If we can grasp all those words that are coming from us, or are they? Useless or idle words? If we go back to the definition, it's useless. It's clear. In the book, what I was going to focus on was met him. And roughly, this number could vary, but the Lord sent about 42 in Exodus. Every time he said it, he did it. There was no wishy-washy saying this or that. When he spoke, when he told me, he did it. I'm going to return to Exodus 11. I have scripture, so you don't need to turn to all those. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and he will let go the hands. When he shall let you go, he shall thrust you out together. And we're going to skip. It says about the jewels to be borrowed, but we're going to go to what tells them. And Moses said, thus says, he's talking to Pharaoh, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind me, behind the male, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a cry in the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall be a dog's tongue against man or beast, that he may know that the Lord doth put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. Stop right there, but we can see that the Lord spoke, and it was done. He killed every one of them. Firstborn. Moses told, said, we could keep reading. There's many accounts in the Bible where the Lord came down. I don't know how that looked, how the Lord spoke to Moses, but he spoke to him. It says that he spoke, and any idle or useless words in God's speech. We say we are sons of him, but is our speech. My mind went to us as fathers, husbands. We go out to work. Maybe we're running a little bit. We have an appointment at 9 o'clock. And we're running late. We leave late. And then we get stopped maybe by a train. 9:20 when we get there. And while we tell the customer all this that went on, a lot of excuses. We give him this long spiel about, you don't mention that you maybe got up late. You avoid those things out. They've just been honest. It's a form of, I believe, that we could put in the versus idle. We could put in a form of laziness. But you tell the customer that because you don't want to make yourself look bad. But I believe those are idle words when we can just be honest. Yesterday, testimony, there was a man pulled into our place, and he wanted help. He needed help wrapping his legs. He's a heavier set man, and he needed help wrapping his legs. And first, my mind instantly went to like, I can't do this. But no, I told him that. But that's instantly where my mind went, was to tell him that it's. But the Lord brought me to what I was speaking on today, and I needed to be. But be honest in every word that you say. I believe that our speech is very, very critical. Matthew 42-46. I hungered, and ye gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shalt thou also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee, and hungered, or athirst, or naked, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, he did it not to me. And these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And I just had to think of, that yesterday, I would have been turning him away if I would have said, if I would have lied, because it was not the truth. It would have been considered a lie. Proverbs 10, verse 18 and 19. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I just had to put a question out. Do I refrain my lips? If you refrain your tongue, you are wise. Wisdom is silent. In Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. I was going to read that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How does that look? To let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Another thought I had to think of, sometimes when me and my wife are talking, she tells me something that maybe I didn't know, and I respond with, seriously, like just in that way. And I had to think that's useless. That's corrupt communication. And another incident was, so when I grew up, shut up was not a word that we was allowed to use in our home. It was, we did not use it. If you couldn't say be quiet, then you didn't say it. But now my wife, on the other hand, she was used to using shut up. Shut up was a word that they used in their home all the time, and it still is today. But it sounds harsh. And I believe be quiet, and she has been convicted today that be quiet sounds a lot better. So, but be quiet can just be sound so much more. I believe shut up is in the form of corrupt communication. My mind goes to Jesus on corrupt communication. There was none. There was none that came out of his mouth. His speech pleased his Father. Does my speech please my Heavenly Father? Or is my speech quick to say, did you hear about so-and-so? I'm not sure, real sure about that. We need to pray for that situation. I believe that is idle talk. Useless. Because what is happening there, I told someone. Now I'm feeling good inside because I left somebody know that I left a brother know that he didn't know about it. And it's idle talk, but it's pleasing self because I'm saying something that he didn't know. But I believe when that happens, that we as brothers need to stop. When we hear the words, did you hear about so-and-so? And it's gossip. But us as listeners, we need to stop it. We need to say, whoa. We need to be strong and say, we need to stop. But as listeners, we thrive on gossip. We love hearing things about people. It makes us feel good. I believe we're in the same spot as the one that is speaking. If we don't stop it and we just take it in, because we're going to take it and we're going to pass it on. It is idle. In Matthew 20, verse 3, it says the disciples were standing there idle. And idle again there is the same meaning is useless laziness. And that is what we are doing. We would be standing there useless when somebody is just filling us in on the gospel, letting us know we are standing there useless. Lord, help us to have the courage to just stand strong, to say. Idle words cause damage and hurt even when they sound innocent. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What is the use of saying you are a follower of Jesus if you do not prove it by your actions or speech? Be a doer of the word. And I had to think last Sunday night, Leroy shared about the youth singing, what it did to that lady. She was listening and it did something. I realize singing has tremendous power. I think it's a little different than speaking, but at the same time, our speech matters. Do we sing for the melody, or do we realize what we are singing? John D. Martin says that singing is as powerful as prayer. So often we sing, and we just sing because we like how the song sounds. If that is the case, we need to regroup or refocus. That would fall in the form of idleness. I thought of the song. I don't have the words of it, but it was, "Is He Satisfied With Me?" But I had to think of 699. I'm just going to read a couple of those words that we sang this morning. "Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me, empty to sin and self may I be. I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy spirit and lost in thy love. Come to my heart, Lord, come with anointing, showers of grace send down from above." At times, I find myself just singing these songs, but the power of these songs, we're asking the Lord to come into our heart, to move into our midst, to remove all the earthly within me. And I believe that earthly within me is our speech. That we're asking Him to remove that the speech completely, to purify it wholly as He is. "Do people hear foolishness coming from my mouth? Or when I speak, does it do what that singing did to that lady?" You know, I know that singing has power, but the words that we speak are probably not as powerful as what a melody on a song does. But yet at the same time, people can be moved by what comes from our mouth. They will know if we have a little bit of carnal in us, or if we are fully surrendered, if we, as that song says, as that carnal or that earthly is all removed from us. Ephesians 5:3. "Mortification and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be among you, as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, which are not convenient, but rather, for this ye know that no righteous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." The verses we just read says filthy things, but rather giving of thanks. I believe it is easier to talk foolish rather than to give thanks. Now, I'm not talking filthy cuss words, because I don't believe anybody in here is caught up with that, with filthy language. Some of us have. We come from that, where our words were filthy. But it's that idle words, the useless words, the unnecessary words. It says, "Let them not once be named among you." We are people of words. How often do we tend to say the correct words? But the useless words, the words that we just use to fill in. We can go back and we can think of just some of those words that that we used before. But how often do we say the correct words but not truly mean them? I think of Arlen's message last Sunday. God sees right through our hearts. He is the final judge. To people, we can appear like we have it all figured out. We know. To people, we can sound like we are walking a godly life, but our heart can be far from God. But God sees right through each one of our hearts. I had to think where we come from after church services. The talk was about work and about a bunch of unnecessary things. And I think, what is ours like? Just a question to ask each one of us. Do we tend to ask about work? I know this is an area that I fell in.
But just to be completely honest with one another and to see how one another truly are doing. Because that's why we're here, to edify one another, to encourage one another. If there is a spot in one another's life that we are, that maybe somebody's failing in, but that we can just be open, that communication, that we can just admonish, exhort, because so we can all walk hand in hand through those pearly gates that God has prepared for us. And if we're here, it's okay to talk about work and stuff, but I believe at times if we're not here talking to encourage one another, and it's always about the unnecessary things, we're not going to have that open, clear communication between us. This has been a great challenge for me. As I looked at this, and there was many times this week as I thought of things that brought me to what I was speaking on, and it changed my thoughts. Even in our home, as we was speaking as a family, there was times that the children would say something that, that's unnecessary talk. That's useless. But that we can keep our talk edified to what God has for us. And children, I would like to take a moment for children. I realize Furman's having the children's lesson, but I would like to just take a moment that this is not about speaking as just not for dad moms. It's just not for the ones that are married. This is for you all. This is from age, you're still living at home, to the youngest one. How do you respond to your dad mom? How do you respond to your siblings? I had to think, how do you speak after church? Just like when I asked the question, what is our speech like after church here? How is you, you guys as children, how is your speech? Do you guys talk about one another? Do you maybe say bad things, like not in a terrible way, but just a little bit? But that's foolish talking. If you can't say a nice thing about someone, then don't say it. But your speech matters. It's forming you. It's just as our speech matters, each one of you children's speech, it's very important. And it's also a testimony to the people around you. That maybe that you meet, or maybe we have visitors that come on a Sunday and they hear that maybe these children are just very, very unkind, or they're bullying, and they're. But it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. But the same, praise one another. Like if you guys are playing a game, take the time to, if somebody does a good job, tell them, let them know. I believe the same goes for us as parents. We need to exhort one another, praise one another, correct one another. As we go through this week, my burden would be that let us think of the words that come out of our mouth. 12,000 words. It's a lot of words. And that number could vary. If you're a talker, that could be a lot more. But how many of those words are useless, are of no importance? First Peter 1, verses 15 to 21. But as which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let our speech be edified with the Father. And it tells us, he put it in the Bible, so it is true. So we can be holy as he is holy. And holy, I looked up the word holy. It means sacred. Physically, pure, morally blameless. So God said it. It's true. I know at times I've heard the statement before. Well, I didn't mean to. We're flesh. We failed. I realize we fail at times. But God said it. He put it in the Bible that be holy for I am holy. It's doable. But we need one another. We need to edify one another. Our speech needs to be edified that we can exhort one another into that heavenly kingdom. That's all I have. God bless.